This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
The number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time, we provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Rule 76. Hours from now, so much sports goodness, so much levity, so much comedy, so much fun, so much to do. Friday morning, what does that mean? Oh, the morning roast is here. That'll happen at right around 7:45. Stuff you missed. You know what I feel like, Rick? Good morning, Rick, by the way. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
I feel like we've not given RJ a long enough runway with stuff you missed recently.
We have to be better. You know, it's my favorite segment. We've got to give him as much time as he needs.
That's your favorite daily segment? That's
yes.
Your favorite segment we do, period?
I think it's just, I know, I've said it plenty of times. It's RJ's best segment. He really gets the, I think he flourishes in that role.
He does flourish in that role. He does.
I want him to spread his little wings and be able to fly.
But yesterday, all of a sudden, I looked up and I left him 4.5 minutes. That's on me. And I had tremendous guilt all day for doing that. And I'm sorry. RJ, I'm tremendously sorry. I'll be better today.
You carried that all day?
All day, all night, watching
until
college basketball, watching the NBA as the Rangers led 2-1 and closed out that win. Yeah, all day. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think we can let it go.
Okay. Listen, I want you to know that I do have guilt, and I do feel badly, and I'm glad that you accept my apology.
Before you let it go, I want you to feel one more sense of guilt, then let it go.
Oh, man, I felt terrible about this all day yesterday that, you know, right. You work so hard. Those little fingers, they just work so hard to get good, honest goodness. And then I looked up and it's like 4.5 minutes.
All right. It wasn't very nice, but let's move on.
Okay, now I can move on?
With sound, too. Well, I don't want to hear it. You think he had a rough day. Try hiding a katana samurai sword in the house.
Why do you have to hide it?
Why do I have to hide it?
Well, why bring it into the house,
then?
Just
leave that out in the open. Where do you want me to leave it? In my sword rack in my truck?
I'm sure. And RJ's been to your exclusive home. I'm sure there's probably enough room in the house that you could hide a samurai sword and no one would ever stumble upon it.
I'm telling you right now, you never know with kids. I'm going to have to get a sword safe.
Well, I think you should.
I'm going to have to. I never thought I would have multiple swords.
Well, now, here's the question now. Do you not tell them the sword is in the house? Or do you say, there's a sword in the house, whatever you do not touch dad's sword?
You don't tell a young child that don't ever touch something. No, you just.
I don't know who brings a sword into the home.
Apparently I do. Multiple swords.
Apparently you do. So don't judge me like that and have disdain when you say that. Sorry, I wouldn't bring a murderous weapon into the home with three young children. But that's just me.
You don't have friends like I have. Maybe you need to get better friends.
No,
because you don't have a friend that sends you beautiful swords.
You're right.
Don't be mad at me.
You're right. I don't have that.
I have a sword collection now.
Great. What do you do with that? Do you juggle the swords?
No, I don't juggle the swords.
Do you chop watermelons? Are you like Gallagher with the swords?
No, I could be, though. I could be. No, these swords will be hidden, and I apparently will need a sword safe.
Sword safe.
She should have seen Cassie's face when I walked in the house. She's like, what's in the box?
So you told her that you were bringing another sword into the home.
No, I had to walk in the house with the box, didn't I? I was going to leave that thing. And she's like, what's in the box? I was like, yeah.
It's a sword.
Did you go check it out?
Was she turned off by the sword? Or
no, because he's. Well,
she knows. She knows it's you. Like, you've been married long enough that she knows. Like, what? Hi, sweetheart. What are you bringing home today? Like a bouquet of flowers? No, nope, it's a sword.
Nothing says I love you like a sword.
Nothing says I love you like a decapitating sword. Hello. Can we talk about the sword for 4 hours? Because I don't want to talk about what we're going to have to talk about. It's going to make me sick.
I'll tell you what, you weren't kidding last night, though, man. Whew, there was a lot happening.
I tried to warn you.
I didn't realize.
That there was a lot happening. You got the Knicks. You got the Nets. The college basketball started at 6:30 and went till about 12:15. You had the Rangers, right? I mean, there was a lot going on last night.
A lot happening, man. A lot of implications in hockey. I mean, everything was happening last night.
Everything was happening last night. And one of the biggest things that happened last night was the Knicks. And we discussed it yesterday. And I think very fairly, neither of us were panic mode at all for the Knicks yesterday. Disappointed that they lost the night before to Miami, but not freaked out, not, you know, running around, you know, willy-nilly with, oh my God, the sky is falling. It was none of that. That loss last night, that performance last night, that was dreadful. Randall has to be better. RJ Barrett was awful in this game. No Jalen Brunson. I don't know why we have the conversation of, well, you know, Brunson's just not as important as Randall. Brunson is vitally important, and that was an awful loss. And now, you know what you've done to yourself? You've set yourself up for that 5 seed is very much in peril.
Well, you set yourself up for a must-win game on Monday. There's no excuse. I don't care if Brunson plays or not. You have to win the game. You have to beat Houston.
At home against Houston?
You have to win.
Think about this now. You have the weekend off. You're home, and you play, I don't know what the record is now, I think one of the worst two or three teams in all the NBA.
But it is an NBA team, which you saw last night, and we talked about it. It's not an easy – listen, you're not going to want to hear an excuse. It's not an excuse. It's part of what happens in situations like this. It's tough back-to-back. It is. The reality – I mean, the Heat game has a playoff atmosphere. It's physical. You lose.
I get
it.
Then
have to turn around the next day. But still, I'm not making an excuse. That's a game you have to win. As bad as it was, you're down 19 in the first half. You're back down 19 in the third quarter, and you find a way to battle back twice. Going into the fourth, as bad as it looked, as discombobulated as it looked, as bad as the defense was again, and outside of Quentin Grimes, the three-point shooting was, the game was tied. And then you come out in the fourth quarter, not a good start to the fourth quarter. And how about this? This is what makes me real sick about the two games. So in the fourth quarters of the game against the Heat and the Magic, they are shooting 22 of 32, which is 69%, and worse, 13 of 15 from three.
The combination of those two teams?
Those two teams. Magic were 7 of 8, and the Heat were 6 of 7 in the fourth quarter.
7 of 8?
7 of 8.
Oh, that is awful. By the way, I did a little bit of investigative work. Journalism, really.
Yep.
Houston, worst record in the NBA.
Look at you.
There is no team with a worse. Oh, no, there is. Detroit. Worst record in the Western Conference, second worst record in all the NBA. There is, I don't care who doesn't play in that game. You're home, you have the full Friday, Saturday, Sunday off. If you don't win that game, I'll tell you what, I'll go this far. If you don't win that game on Monday against Houston, you don't deserve to be the 5 seed.
No, it's a game you have to win. And you got no excuses now. There's no back-to-back. You got plenty of time now. Rest up, work on some things, because your three-point defense stinks.
Stinks. Your defense stinks.
It hasn't been good. No, it has not been good. And you know what? As bad as the loss was for me as a former player, the worst look was the whole Julius Randle getting in Quickley's face. It's an awful, awful look for him.
Well, we've seen that from him before, right? We've seen where he does things that you don't really understand and doesn't make all that much sense, and he did it again last night.
Yeah, but I don't mind. Listen, in situations like that, I get it. I mean, losing your composure a little bit, but it's one thing to lose your composure with the referees. And, I mean, we're at the point now where enough is enough with that. But then your teammate comes over to try to do the right thing and calm you down.
Right.
And you're nose-to-nose. Get the bleep out of my face. Like, come on, man. You're supposed to be one of the leaders on this team.
No. He's supposed to be the leader on this team.
Like, there's no excuse for me with stuff like that. I can't stand stuff like that.
But this is why when they don't get so upset. When they lost that game against Minnesota on Monday, and I said, that's a bad loss, and you hope to God that doesn't come back to haunt you. That's why I said it. The one loss, the standalone loss against Minnesota, fine. It's not that big a deal. When you look at what's coming up, and now all of a sudden Brunson's hurt again, right? Because now he's got the wrist.
And you see how important he is to this team.
He's vitally important. He's so important. And I like Quickley, but he's so vitally important. You don't have him in the entire dynamic of the game changes. When the defenses tighten up in the fourth quarter and you don't have Brunson, your offense goes right into the toilet.
Well, especially when you're not getting stops. I mean, part of what happened in the third quarter was they actually started playing legitimate defense and they were able to get out in transition. when they don't do that, you're not wrong. I mean, the guy that can go get you a bucket and you're not worried that he's going to go spin cycle and turn the ball over is Brunson.
It's awful.
He's going to make the right play.
Without him, it is they are lost. It is terrible. And I'm disgusted. I mean, there's no business to lose all three of these games. No business.
No, you're right. I mean, I can't defend it. You're right.
And now you're in a dogfight.
Dude, you can't get down. I mean, I don't care who you're playing. You can't get down by 19 and battle back, and then get down 19 again. You're exerting too much energy.
You're right.
It's
you're
too
right.
hard.
Well, think about it now. How many points did they get down to Minnesota? 17 at home? Right?
I'm trying to forget as much of that game as possible. I'm having nightmares about Torian Prince.
Of the three games that you played this week, Minnesota and Orlando, we'd say clearly are the second and third best teams, right?
Yeah, Miami's they were down 7. Knicks were down 17 in the second, and they were down 16 early in the third against Minnesota.
Yeah. And then last night you were down, what, 19?
19 how do you twice.
Fall,
I mean,
how do you fall behind 19 to that team? Not that they're bad. They're not bad. They're not the laughingstock. They're not Houston. They're not Detroit. But they're not very good. How do you fall behind 19 points to that team?
Well, were they going a 16-0 run? Was one of the ways.
Well, that's typically frowned upon, right?
Right. Yeah, it's like you're content just trading buckets. It's not who this. I don't understand why. I mean, at this point of the season, we're going to pretend like that's who we are now. Like we're a hard hat, go out, play good, solid defense, and that's how we win games. Dude, they were like the what was it like? I think they were the third best team defensively against the three.
What happened?
I don't know. I can't answer.
All
I don't know.
Of a sudden,
Their perimeter defense stinks. I mean, their guards. I mean, I don't know what the hell has happened. They're just getting. I mean, the game against Miami was just it was high pick and roll, get in the paint, kick it out, high pick and roll, kick it out. It's too easy.
Yeah, but we were kind of like, yeah, Brunson wasn't great defensively. Brunson didn't even play last night.
I didn't even play last night.
And the defense was no good. Let's hear from the coach. I'm so disgusted. I told you if they lost that game last night, I'd be frustrated. Here's Tom Thibodeau. We have to be better.
Got to be better. You know, I thought third quarter we played well to get out of the hole. Started the fourth, we played poorly. Started the second, we played poorly.
But that's the thing. Why every game are there huge stretches where you play like garbage now?
Well, even the start, man. I mean, the start was on both sides of the ball. Offense looked bad. Defense was bad. And I mean, the only one that looked good in the first half was Quentin Grimes.
And you're right, by the way. And you see this all the time in sports. When a team falls behind huge and they have to exert so much energy and they finally get right back to even, and then you can't continue to keep your level of intensity up at that level for that extended period of time.
No, it's too hard, man.
And last night they did it, and then it fell apart again.
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, the third quarter, they close out the third quarter on a 25-6 run, and then they start the fourth quarter, and it's, I think, Magic went on a 13-5 run, and then down the stretch making big threes. I mean, 7-for-8 from three in the fourth quarter is not, I mean, it can't happen of a tied game going into the fourth quarter. It's too much. Dude, the combined fourth quarters, the Heat and Magic shot 69% from the field and 87% from three.
It's amazing.
87%.
It really is. And when you look at that Orlando team, do you look at them and say to yourself, boy, that's an offensive juggernaut?
No, not at all. They're the seventh worst three-point shooting team in the NBA.
And by the way, it's only year four, and R.J. Barrett is he's a nice guy, and he's so young. Have you watched Paolo Banchero play basketball?
Stud.
Yeah, I mean, you watch him, and it takes you about 2 minutes to realize this guy's different. I'm sorry. R.J. Barrett, this is the end of year four. Is he a much better player than when he started in the league? Are we at the point where you look at him and you say, God, that's a player I want to build around? No.
Last night was a perfect opportunity for him. Perfect opportunity. Take over that game in the fourth quarter.
Last three losses, Knicks have given up 378 points.
That's what I'm talking about, man. That's the most frustrating thing. Like, why now? What happened?
I don't know.
Are they tired? Like, I don't understand.
But it's
what
not
happened.
Even like you're at the point of the season where it's like, okay, you know, you kind of wear down and you have 20 games left. You can see the finish line. But I mean, you're at the end.
You're at the finish line.
Yeah. You made it all the way to just about the finish line.
Yeah. This is when, like, you're going into, like, this is when you start sprinting.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
There it is. Let's go.
That's right.
You don't start going the opposite direction.
Very, very concerning. Very, very frustrating.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Sometimes you just got a Friday morning.
Yeah, you feeling good?
Feeling great.
Well rested today?
No.
No?
No, I think I'm straight adrenaline right now.
Really? Your early coffee, and now you're just all bubbly.
I know right now, currently on the scoreboard of nastiness, I'm at the top of the leaderboard.
Oh, I understand that. You're like 9 under.
Right.
Yeah.
But I am capable of saying nice things. So I'm gonna say a nice thing. I don't know if this deducts points from the nastiness, but I'll say it anyway.
Well, hang on a moment. You're gonna say a nice thing about who?
The three of you.
Three of us, okay.
Yeah, there's no hidden agenda here. This is really okay. How I feel. I'm probably in a good mood.
Okay.
As tired as I am on, you name the day, whatever it is.
Every day, yeah.
Every day, but there are some days, you know this, where you're just more tired than others.
And you got nothing, you're on fumes.
The idea of getting to do a show with you three instantly gives me the energy I need.
That's very nice.
Because I look forward to it.
That is lovely. Is what that is.
I love doing the show with you guys.
That is a beautiful sentiment, and I think we all echo the same feeling towards each other. As nasty as this gets, as mean as it gets, as behind the woodshed as this gets, I think everybody on the show fully, because if you didn't love doing the show, there's no way you could wake up at God knows when.
No, especially when you get belittled every day, you'd say enough.
Yeah, that could be a turnoff for some people.
But when you know the people you work with love you,
yeah,
you can deal with it.
I think that's accurate. All right, so a couple of notes of business here. Firstly, host sadness. So I move on yesterday because of a cheating scandal again, and I'm not blaming LaGreca, but by the LaGreca camp. Can we say that by the LaGreca camp?
You old stupid man, get lost.
No, I can't even say the LaGreca camp. I think this is
somebody on the LaGreca side of things.
Yeah, no, I don't know. This is like the guy who thinks he's representing Lamar, I think.
Reveal yourself to me!
I'm the guy, and then they send out a memo. You do not speak to this man under any circumstance.
Yes. I think Don said last year that he doesn't want anyone cheating for him because he wants to win fair and square. And someone
you were wrong, and I love it.
God, he's an animal.
He really is. I love when he really does his rants and he gets himself all red. So anyhow, Don, like a gentleman, conceded. He understood there was nefarious things that happened. He gave me the victory. I mean, I think I had the win. It got ripped away by cheating, and now it's given back to me. That's what the judges have determined. So I move on. And I face Michael Kay.
Not the judges alone. Hold on. Don't paint that kind of picture. The judge, we called him live on the radio to explain. This was nothing that he didn't already know about. He chose, in concert with us in the committee, that there was cheating.
Right, I understand. That's what I said.
Yeah, but I think we should make sure people know that Don, this wasn't something that we just decided without Don knowing.
Well, no, Don knew, but I think whether Don signed off on it or not, that was going to be their determination regardless.
I like that we gave Don the opportunity to get the real story and take the knee if he wanted to.
Yep, and he did. Now, today we have our other quarterfinal matchups, and that has you against Alan Hahn and Peter Rosenberg against Chris Carlin. Very early in the voting, about 120-plus votes in yours, You're throttling your former co-host, Alan Hahn. 84-16%.
It's too early. It's way too early.
Yeah, but I think it's obvious to the people that they love you more than they love him. And Rosenberg Carlin, I told you we could have an upset here. 64-36, Carlin out to an early but big lead.
Hello, pot. This is the kettle. You're fat. Hello.
Hello.
He is the people's champ, though, Carlin. He is the everyman.
People love him. People love him.
He's so self-deprecating. He's
terrific.
How can you not love him?
Yeah, he's jolly, jovial, really, too.
Yeah, he's just a fun. He's fun to be around.
Counting Crows coming to PNC Bank Arts Center Thursday, July the 6th, and Northwell Health at Jones Beach Theater on Saturday, July the 8th. All from Live Nation. Tickets go on sale today, 10:00 in the morning at livenation.com. 1-800-919-3776. All right, Knicks fans, we've discussed it. We've heard from Thibodeau. We've skirted around it, and now it's time to hear from you at 1-800-919-3776. We are, I can't speak for you, Rick. The word I would use is disgusted with the week of games from the Knicks right now.
I'm not happy at all. I'm not happy at all. Just because, again, I mean, defense, a lot of defense is want to.
Mm-hmm.
And last three games, especially in the fourth quarter of the Heat game and then last night, it's just, it's not who this team has been. I don't understand what all of a sudden happened.
I don't know. It feels like they have no legs. It feels like there's no sense of urgency. It's just all the things that you worry about with the Knicks specifically, because this happens to them all the time, has really risen and is biting you right now. But what do they have though? 8 games left.
Yeah, right now they are
7 games left. Like they don't have a lot of games left.
They're 42-33.
So that's an odd number. So it must be 7, right? 42-33 is 75. So there's 7 games left. You should be ramping up and getting better and getting ready to finish out the season.
Unless you've expended so much energy to put yourself in this spot.
If you got nothing left, then you have a major problem.
Major problem.
A major problem. All right, let's get to the calls. 1-800-919-3776. We start out with our buddy, Sean, in the truck. Good morning, Sean. You're on 98.7.
Hey, good morning, Dave. Good morning, Rick.
What's up, pal? How are you?
I'm doing well, man. Just sitting in traffic. Sucks right now, but it is what it is. Couldn't be worse than last night's game, honestly. You know, just it's a tale of two Knicks for me, man. You know, one week they got, you know, they look like they're good and they're beating Denver. And then the next three, you lose to a 500 team in the Timberwolves. You know, the Heat, no pushover. And then, you know, that garbage I watched last night. You know, guys look so tired, man. You know, it's defensive. You know, you guys just touched on it. It's energy and effort. You know, guys look tired. Julius has played in every game, you know, and he doesn't look like Julius when he's fresh. So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, they gotta let the adrenaline kick in, man, because you guys said it before. You know, you guys should be sprinting to the finish line, and, you know, they just look tired, man. So, you know, just tail two Knicks for me. But, you know, it is what it is.
And the thing that's so frustrating, thanks for the call, Sean, Rick, is you never know what the hell you're going to get.
But you did. I mean, during the winning streak, you did know exactly what you were going to get.
Well, where is that now?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's that they're worn out. But I mean, Julius still, like, I mean, not saying he's not tired, because I give him tons of credit. He's playing in every single one of these games. But I mean, even last night, he still looks like he's got bounce in his legs. He had some monstrous dunks. I almost just swore there. He had some monstrous dunks.
You were going to swear?
Yeah, I almost did.
That could turn right into my morning roast if you did.
Yeah, that was as close as I've been in a
really
long time.
That was as close as you've come?
Yeah, that was really, like, the F was already out of my mouth.
I didn't even hear. RJ came into the studio yesterday and said, boy, you almost had one there, Rick, huh? And I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, that was one right there.
You're tiptoeing the line, huh?
Yeah, I'm just right on it. But yeah, I mean, he didn't shoot well. I mean, 7 of 20 is not good. No, 2 of 9 from 3.
And Barrett was brutal.
That's the problem, though, man. Like that, yeah. It's why it's so important. We kept talking about it the entire season, and everyone, like, we played the sound from Windy. You know, the Knicks put themselves in a good spot where if there's a disgruntled star, they could make a trade, not even for just one, maybe two. And we've talked about this the whole year. Brunson, really good player. You could make the argument that he was the best signing of the offseason in the NBA. He's been great. Julius Randle having an awesome season, all-star again.
Right.
But you need that. You needed that one person. That one more guy to step up and get to that level. And last night would have been a perfect opportunity for RJ to do that.
Right, with Brunson, it was a great landing spot. And he, I mean, not only could he not be that guy, he wasn't even decent. He was bad last night.
No, he wasn't good at all last night. I mean, fourth quarter last night, he didn't score a point. He took one shot.
Ugh, it's really, really frustrating.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
College Hoops was back on center stage last night. Kansas State takes down Michigan State overtime at the Garden. And I don't know how closely you watch this game. Marquise Noel, point guard for Kansas State. New York City product
was
only
awesome.
Got one scholarship offer, Division I, out of high school to Arkansas Little Rock.
Well, he's tiny.
5'8". Yep. But he's one of the great passers I've ever seen.
Oh, 19 Sets assists last night.
Not only 19 assists, it's the most in the history of the NCAA tournament.
It was awesome. The one play that they ran where it looked like he was talking, like he was arguing with the coach on the sideline.
He was!
Well, I think that was that. Was he really arguing with
them? Yes, they asked them both about it in the post game, and they said they weren't arguing. They were discussing what they should run. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw the guy cutting to the basket. He's like, well, I'll throw it up to him.
It was awesome.
It was awesome. 19 assists, most in the history of the tournament. UConn beats Arkansas. They destroyed them. And Florida Atlantic tops Tennessee. Then in the late game, Drew Timmy scores 36. Julian Strother hits a huge three from distance. As the Zags win that one over UCLA, this Hoops update brought to you by new Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola, oh, it's here. Born for what's next, born for a bolder taste. Jack Daniels and Coca-Cola, born for this. Enjoy responsibly. How much of the college basketball did you watch last night?
Almost all of it.
Very impressive.
Well, I know you like it, and RJ likes it.
Yeah,
and,
you shouldn't watch things because we like them. You should watch it because you're interested.
Well, no, I'm interested. No, I'm not. It's not that I'm not interested. I like it. I mean, most of my focus was on the Rangers and the Knicks, but mm-hmm. I had the games on the TV.
UConn looks elite,
really good.
Kansas State is scary because that point guard is great. You know, there's a player. It's funny. I thought Alex was telling me this. I was like, okay, Alex, sure. He's like, you know, they have a player that had a heart attack, and just joined the team this year. And I was like, okay. And then they're talking about it on the game. I guess, I forget his name.
Keontae Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah,
the kid that went to Florida?
Right. He's the one that had the alley-oop.
Yeah. He had a heart attack while at Florida, and they wouldn't clear him to play at Florida, and now they cleared him at Kansas State, and now the guy's going to the Elite Eight.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Well, it's an amazing story. But Noel is, you watch him. He's got incredible vision. He's an elite point guard. At 5'8". A New York City kid, too.
I know. Yeah, and then, so a couple things last night. So the kid, the guard, Jordan Hawkins, is so big.
From UConn.
Yeah, it's so big for UConn. He had 24 yesterday. He's one of the big keys for them. Isn't Julian Strother, isn't he from Vegas?
I don't know that.
I think he is from Vegas.
I got to tell you
something. Which made that shot that much more special.
Did you stay up? You didn't stay up for that, right?
I watched the rest of it this morning.
Okay, so that ended well after midnight. So I'm staying up, I'm watching. I picked UCLA, so that game was wild. Because if you're just waking up and you don't know how that game went down, UCLA was on the verge of blowing out Gonzaga. They were up 13 at the half, and they were in complete control. Second half, Gonzaga...
They couldn't score.
What'd you say?
They couldn't score.
They didn't score a field goal for over 10 minutes in the second half. Gonzaga takes a 12-point lead with about 2.5 minutes to go. I was on the verge, all right, let's click this off. And then I had the memory of the Monday Night Football game that Sherry demanded I turned off, and it backfired, and I turned out the next morning, and I found out that the Colts came back to win. So I don't turn the game off. Like, I'll sit here and I'll watch the end. All of a sudden, they make a free throw, they hit a three, it's an N1, it's an 8-point game, it's a 6-point game, Gonzaga turns the ball over, it's a 4-point game. Now, it's a 2-point game. And Drew Timmy gets fouled with about 20 seconds left. He was awesome last night. Awesome. Puts in 36, right? Goes to the line and takes two of, I'm not exaggerating, the most anxiety-ridden free throws you've ever seen. You saw those this morning, right?
Pressure, buddy.
I mean, he's awesome, and he's been there. He didn't want any part of it. First one, almost an air ball short. Second one, clangs off. It might have hit the glass before it hit the back of the rim. Ball goes to UCLA. They come down. They set up a play, kick it out, three-pointer, hit it. They're now up one. Gonzaga timeout. Draws up a play. Now they're down one, mind you. And I know it worked, and I don't know how you feel about this. I can't believe that is the play they decided to go with. To set Strother up with still like 7 seconds left in the game for what must have been a 32-foot shot from the logo, Rick.
No, it wasn't from the logo. You're exaggerating a little bit.
I'm not. It was RJ. RJ?
It was deep.
RJ, was he on the logo?
I'd have to check the tape, but it was deep.
Was it not startling how far out he was?
It was, but it was straight away. And listen, you have the audio. I mean, Mark Few, that was the shot they wanted.
That's the shot. All right, so here's Mark Few, and I stand by it. Logo, Mark Few on the go ahead three.
He's made that shot multiple times for us this year. If you look back to the BYU game, I mean, he had a very deep three, a dagger three like that in that game, very similar. We practice that play. That's Jay Wright's play used at the end of the Villanova-Carolina game, the championship. That's what we call it. And he makes it all the time. So, yeah, when he asked me, it was stronger words than what he used. I just said, yeah, make it, make it.
All right, I guess I'm in the minority here. I didn't like the play. Just because it worked, I didn't like the play. You're down to one. You take a, how far do you think that was? 30 feet?
It was deep. I don't know if it was logo. I got to look. I'll watch it again. I don't
watch
know if it was
it
the logo, but it sounds like from what I just heard from him that he went with his gut. And they have the play, which was that play.
Yep.
They have a name for it and everything else. But the fact, like I told you, this kid grew up in Vegas. So he must have been in the huddle saying, yes, we should run this. I'm telling you, I'll make it. And the coach said, all right, I trust you. I've seen you make it before. Go make it.
And he did. And he did. Now, I'm sure you watched it all the way through. So that puts them up by two.
Yep.
The UCLA turns it over. They foul. I think Strother also got fouled there. Goes to the line. Misses the first. Makes the second. I don't understand why you make the second in that situation. No timeouts for UCLA, 1.1 seconds left. Wouldn't you just want to miss it? They're not going to get a rebound and throw it 90 feet down the court.
I don't know. Just
basket.
Maybe just make sure you make it three so you can't. There's no way you can lose
in case
something crazy happens.
I guess. And then UCLA runs this play where the point guard actually got a pretty good look and hits off the back of the rim. And that was it.
Like, think about when you're watching, like, as I was watching that game, like, the level of anxiety just didn't, and we have no rooting interest in it.
You did
because you picked UCLA.
They kept showing the fans, like, the wives of the coaches. They were pale, they were shaking, they were biting their nails. The fans, the players' families, they were a disaster.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's, like, you can feel it coming through the television. That's why everyone loves it.
Oh, it's so good. Think of the games Gonzaga and UCLA have had in the tournament, by the way. So this game, remember the game, I know you remember the game 2 years ago when Gonzaga was undefeated.
Yep.
And Jalen Suggs hit that three to win the
game.
Yeah,
you had that. Yeah, okay, so you had that one.
And then the one, remember, this is a while back when Adam
Morrison.
Yeah,
the Adam Morrison one, yeah.
Yeah, where he was down weeping after the game.
Yep.
Those are three pretty epic games between two schools in the last, 15, 18 years.
Yeah, I think UCLA scored in that, what did they score, like the last 10 or 11 points in that Adam Morrison game?
Yeah, and they scored the last 10 points last night until the shot from Strother.
I just don't understand how you go that, like, if you UCLA, you go that long without scoring.
It makes no sense. And then you can't help but score.
But, and then all of a sudden now you can't. You
right,
can't
now the floodgates are open. It is very strange. All right, so that's college basketball. Maybe we'll get back to it a little bit later on this morning. So RJ sent an article. The topic is what landing OBJ would mean for the Jets. And one unnamed exec, NFL executive, and this is a Rich Cimini article, and you can read it on ESPN.com, said, quote, and this gets me nervous, Rick, they're just intoxicated with Rodgers. They've sold their soul now.
Does that surprise you? I mean, that's not how you felt this entire time?
That they've sold their soul?
Yeah, that they're going to bend over backwards.
Maybe it's like word semantics, but all in feels different than sold their soul.
Well, same thing. I mean, it's semantics. I mean, this is the guy they want. They've shown that. It's the guy the owner wants. All their eggs are in this basket, and apparently he wants to be a Jet. Now we just got to get it done.
Well, it feels like he's the GM now of this team.
Well, I think, I mean, this is the situation that he was looking for. If he was going to leave Green Bay, I think he wanted to have the same kind of impact on the team that Brady had in Tampa. Like, when you reach a certain level, and I mean, the only thing you have left to do is win a championship. I mean, how many times have you heard it from coming out of Green Bay that he wants more of a say? That's all he ever talked about.
No, I know it's very important to him.
So now he has a say.
These are the players that I would like. He doesn't have some say. It feels like he has all the say. It feels like this will now be Aaron Rodgers' team.
I said this a long time ago when this first happened, that it had a little a hint of the Nets to it.
Oh, it has. It feels like it has more than a hint, doesn't
it? Well, you bring in Odell now. I'll tell you, I thought about that yesterday because it's just, I mean, it's intoxicating to think of what you would have.
That's what the quote says.
But could you, like, what does it do to the team chemistry, I wonder? Because that's important. I mean, that's important.
I don't know.
Like, to the young players, like the Garrett Wilson, who was he's your guy. He's the number one guy. He's the offensive rookie of the year. And now all of a sudden, you bring in Aaron, and he's got Lazard, who he already is familiar with. He brings in OBJ, who he's dying to play with. Like, where does that put Garrett Wilson now? And how does he respond to that?
Well, it's only
you saw how he responded to losing Elijah Moore. He was upset about that.
I don't blame him for that. I know everyone's so excited. Oh, look what you did. You moved on from Elijah. Elijah Moore, to me, should have a lot of value.
He's going to be a good player.
He's shown flashes. He makes no money. And I remember Ira calling up yesterday, loves the trade. I don't know. I mean, I get it. You're all in and you want to win. You could love that trade. He's a 23-year-old receiver with huge upside. And let's be fair. It's part of why you traded him. Maybe the entire part is because I'm sure Aaron Rodgers said, I don't want this young receiver. I want my guys.
Well, no, I think there's also, I tried to give you some insight yesterday as to some of the stuff that was going on in the locker room too, though. I mean, I think that had a little bit to do with it too. Like, you can't, I mean, the kid is uber talented. I mean, you had A.J. Brown, he was betting his paycheck that Elijah Moore was going to be a great player. He had that much confidence in him. And the kid showed flashes in his first year, and I think he came into year two and didn't put the amount of the right amount of work in, wasn't fully invested in diving into the playbook and everything else, asked to be traded, and, you know, like, we don't know what's going on in the inner workings of the locker room.
We have no idea. This thing, I don't see this, like...
He's going to be a good player for Cleveland, though.
He's going to be... Yes, he's going to be an excellent player for Cleveland, in my mind. This is not going to kind of be okay. This is either going to be phenomenal or disastrous for the Jets.
Doesn't feel like there's a lot of in between.
It's not going to be, how are the Jets? They're pretty good. You know, made the playoffs, won a game, played well. Like, it's going to either be, oh, what an all-time season, or what a disaster this was.
Yeah, well, they were a desperate team. I mean, that's why you do what you do now, is you're a desperate team. Is you have no quarterback. Joe Douglas realizes that he probably screwed up the second overall pick, and Robert Saleh needs to win now. So when
Definitely
you're desperate,
needs to win now, and the owner is the owner is desperate to win now, desperate.
Yeah, which makes everyone below him desperate.
Correct.
And when you're desperate, you make decisions that aren't always the greatest decisions. But
you know what has to happen. We'll get to Morning Roast in a moment. What has to happen?
Tell me what has to happen.
They have to be on Hard Knocks.
Oof.
They're going to get Rodgers, Beckham, maybe Ezekiel Elliott. Please, if there's a God in heaven, let them go on Hard Knocks. Please.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
Oh, yeah, it would.
I would love to see the inner workings of this.
Well, you'd get to see it. Now, there's nothing they can do, right? Like, if they're within the parameters of the NFL.
Yeah, it's up to the NFL.
Can say that they have to be the team. So they could just. So don't they have to do it then?
Yeah, I think they would have to. I don't know the exact rules, but yeah, I mean, if the NFL wants them to do it.
I think there's rules like if you have a rookie head coach, then
but
you're
they
exempt.
Don't, yeah, yeah, they don't qualify for those
right.
rules, though.
So then it has to be them.
Yeah, I'm looking at it now. It says, I'm looking at the list of eligible teams, and the Jets are on it.
How many teams are eligible right
Give
now?
Give me the teams.
Yeah.
Jets, Bears.
No, nobody cares about the Bears.
Commanders.
No.
Saints. Those are the four that I'm seeing.
No, Jets are going to be on
Hard Knocks. Those are the only four eligible teams?
I think so.
Welcome to Hard Knocks, New York Jets.
Now, why? Not that I would want them to go on. Why are the Giants not eligible, though?
I think because you made the playoffs.
Oh, if you make the playoffs, that eliminates you?
I think it gives you a 1 year
respite.
Yeah.
Good word.
You're in the playoffs. You're safe.
That was a nice word.
Did you just say respite and then commend yourself for saying it?
Yeah.
That's a Rothenberg move.
You know what? That's a shot. That's a shot. That's a
nice shot.
You
want to write that down or you want me to put that on the scoreboard?
You put that down, please.
Okay.
Raymond, why? Ten years ago, I would have punched you right in the nose for that.
Okay,
but not today.
The difference is I'm telling a fact. This is stuff you've done before.
So here's your, you will do again. Here's your criteria.
That's another shot.
If a team has appeared on the show in the last 10 years, you are out. If a team has a first-year head coach, you are out. And if a team has reached the playoffs within the past 2 years. So you actually have a two-year, what's your word, Rick?
Respite.
Yep, two-year respite.
I'm telling you, the Giants will never go on Hard Knocks.
So that's why it only leaves four teams.
Wow.
It's going to be the Jets. I mean, they'll go four teams. It's got to be the Jets.
You could combine the other three, and I still wouldn't be interested.
Oh,
who cares?
If the Jets were that team, you'd go to the premiere of that.
We're going to be breaking that down the next day like it's a game.
I can't, please.
It is interesting that the Giants. It is interesting that the Giants would never be on Hard Knocks.
Never.
You're probably right.
You know why? Because the Giants, they're better than that. They're not going to lower themselves.
But the league wouldn't force them to if they were in that window, because God knows if they didn't make the playoffs for 6 years and they didn't do it then, then it's not going to happen.
No, because the Giants are an original franchise and they think they're better than other teams and they wouldn't want to lower themselves to that.
And Goodell's probably scared of ownership.
Maybe. There you go.
Penske tweets in. This terrifies me every time. I had a Monday that same Monday Night Football moment. I can't believe I went to bed with 2 minutes left last night. Missed an all-time great ending, and I'll probably never go to bed again before a game ends. I'm livid. And that's why I'll just tape it. No.
Just tape it. Don't check your phone.
No, that's ridiculous. If it's halftime, you say, I got nothing left. Fine. You tape the second half, and you watch it in the morning. But if you have 2 minutes left, there's no reason you can't fight through the urge to go to bed for 2 minutes.
Yeah, 2 minutes is unacceptable. No, 2 minutes is unacceptable. There'll be times like midway through the third quarter, I start to fall asleep.
I have tape in the fourth. I can't do that. That's not my DNA. I get that. I understand you can do it. I have no issue with that. If you're a taper, that's fine. But if you watch the whole game and think it's over, and the only reason you turn it off is you think the game is over, you've made a catastrophic mistake.
Yeah, I agree with that. But plus, I'm up at 2:30 anyway, so it's kind of like I'm watching it on the same.
You almost caught the end live anyhow. It is the truth.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
The Van Halen album? 5150?
Oh, yes.
On this date, 1986.
Was released in 80... God, 86. Rick, how old were you in 86?
I was five.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You a Van Halen guy?
I like Van Halen.
Favorite all-time group?
There's not much music that I'm not... I can't say that there's a kind of music that I'm not a fan of.
You're a fan of music is what you are.
I'm a fan of music. I have very eclectic taste.
Country music, hard rock. You don't like that Don, like death metal?
No. Yeah. The death metal I'm all set with.
That's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. I told you, Yanni Nienema, when he got traded to the Islanders, we were both at the hotel, so I had to drive him, and he would come in my car after making me wait like 15 minutes in the lobby, and he would put his death metal on. Oh, my God.
That's some cojones, you know that?
A humongous cojones.
No, I'm being serious. If you get into someone else's car and they're doing you a favor by driving you, and you now take over the radio... You're a bad guy.
Bad guy.
You could make a suggestion. Hey, is there any chance we turn on, pig vomit or something like that? But if you get in and you just start pressing the buttons and you turn on the station you want, you're a bad guy.
No, not even station, dude. He was bringing his own, he brought his own CDs.
So he just popped it right in there?
Right in there.
Really?
Yeah, and this is after like me telling him, hey, we got to leave at 8:15 sharp. And it's like 8:30. And I'm like, where the hell is Yanni? Call up to his room. Not in there. I go in and he's sitting there reading the newspaper at breakfast.
Maybe he didn't understand time?
No, he understood time.
He didn't care?
No.
That's very rude. Now, but here's the thing. You're a nice guy. That's me.
Too nice.
I call him. I get no answer. I leave.
Yeah, but here's what happened, though. In the end, he got it because karma finally caught up to him. Because being the nice guy that I am, when I try to jack up his flat tire, I put the jack in the wrong spot and jacked right through his back seat.
Oh, God.
Right through the floor. How about that?
How old were you at the time?
I was young in my career, probably. I don't know exactly how old.
So you can't change a tire?
No, it was a special slot. I put it on the BMW, the fancy BMW had a special slot for it.
Oh, no.
And all of a sudden, it went up.
You didn't use the slot.
No, I didn't put it in the slot. I heard that all of a sudden it was like, I heard some cracking. I was like, what's that?
See, that's me. I quietly looked around and I walked away.
Yeah, I was like, it should be fine.
You kept going.
It should be fine as you're hitting the roof of his car.
And then the car just fell and the jack went right through the back seat.
So it was lifting while that stuff was
breaking. Went up. Yeah, it went up. And then it must have just, the spot I had it in must not have been that strong, obviously. And then the car just fell in the jacket.
Now, was he there when this happened?
Standing right next to me.
And what did he say?
Oh, like when someone swears on the radio, like with you. He's like, oh, God, oh.
Yeah, but you know what? In fairness to you, why didn't he do it on his own?
He didn't know how.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Then, well, then
you know what? Clearly, you didn't know how either.
Yeah, you're not at fault, though. Rick can't be at fault if the other guy didn't know.
And usually, it's halfway through the year, I'm like, oh, someone's hurt.
Oh, no.
That's exactly what happened.
That's what he sounds like.
Right there.
Oh, dear. Oh, no. All right, so... Ezekiel Elliott, I don't even remember what the third team is now, Raymond. Maybe you can tell me.
Bengals, Jets.
Oh, so it's the Bengals, mm-hmm. the Jets, and the Eagles. Now, you'll probably think that I'm going to have a take of, you don't want Ezekiel Elliott, he's done. Just the opposite. I think as far as what you have behind Breece Hall, and I'm getting tweets now, Breece Hall's our running back, and he should be. Yes. If Breece Hall is healthy, of course he should be your running back. He's the best running back you have on the roster. But he's coming off a bad injury, and you don't know how quickly he'll respond and how quickly he'll be back to what you saw last season. So do I want Bam Knight? Do I want Tyler Johnson? Do I want Ezekiel Elliott? I'll take Zeke every day, even this version of Zeke.
I think it depends on how much it's going to cost you.
I can't imagine it's going to cost you a lot. There were rumblings he was going to sign for the league minimum.
I think it starts with that. I mean, the one thing that I will say about this is that if you look at some of the stuff, and Rich Smitty had this up. So Jets last season, this is craziness. On runs inside the 3-yard line, this is near the goal line, so the opposing 3-yard line, the Jets had 11 carries for minus 1 yards.
Oh, God.
So Ezekiel Elliott, same situations, 13 runs, 13 yards, 8 TDs.
Boom. I mean, do I want to give him the ball 27 times?
You can't. No.
No. But is there a situation where I have 3rd and 1 at the 3? Yeah. That's exactly what I want to use him for. I would love the signing if I was a Jets fan.
I think it depends on what the other options are.
What are your other options going to be?
A draft.
Oh, that's always an option, sure.
Right. I mean, sure. you're a huge proponent of the draft.
I know what I get in him. He's not great anymore, but he can get you a yard when you need a yard.
There's three benefits for Ezekiel Elliott. I think that.
Are you surprised at my take, by the way?
No, actually that's a very good take by you.
Let me guess one mm-hmm. of the three.
Mm-hmm.
Let me guess one of the three.
Sure.
It's his ability to pick up the blitz, protecting the quarterback.
That's absolutely one of them. He will be your quarterback's best friend.
Can I guess with the second one?
Well, you already mentioned the second one.
If your center goes down, he could fill in at that position.
No, he could not fill in. That would be a disaster. Do not line him up at center. For the love of God, do not put him at center.
Okay.
No. No, you guys mentioned it. The short yard is like, you know, he's not the same running back anymore, but his vision is excellent. Like if there's a hole in a short yard situation, he's going to find it. And the past 2 years, like he hasn't been that guy that he was from 2016 to 2018, but before he got knee injuries in both seasons, he looked pretty good. He was doing pretty well until he sprained the MCL, I think it was, and the knee hyperextension. And also, like, he's very good in the locker room. Everyone who plays with him loves him. And I think, like, he'd be a very good guy in the Jets locker room to have.
And Rick, you talk about paying him a lot. He's not going to get a lot of money. There's no team that's going to give him a lot of money. If you're in it to win it now, I think he'd be a good addition for the Jets.
I understand that. I'm just saying that's something you're taking into account. Like, I mean, is there a younger, cheaper option that's going to give me same kind of production?
I don't think there's going to be a much cheaper option.
To Ray's point, I mean, he makes a good point. Having some veteran leadership in the locker room is not a bad thing.
Not at all. Let's go to, oh my goodness, Japan. John in Japan, good morning. How are you?
Hey, guys, good morning.
Good morning. Have you called us before?
Yeah, I called you guys before.
I remember that.
Yeah, you guys are my favorite host ever. I gotta before I say something, I gotta say you guys are the best podcast on the ESPN. You guys are way better than Bart and Scott and them, and also Michael K. I mean, come on.
We're better than Bart, and we're better than Scott, and we're better than Michael, and we're better than Kay. So we greatly appreciate it. Thank you very much.
It's not even a close comparison, but I wanted to get to the topic. What's going on with the Rodgers? I think there might be some loopholes that the fan base doesn't know about. I don't know if the Jets are going to land him.
No, they have to land him.
Jets are going to land him.
All right. One more thing before I go, guys. Yeah. I'm up late over here. Hey, Rick, I know you're an awesome goalie, but I guarantee I can beat you top shelf, man.
No chance. Anytime, John, no chance.
I guarantee short side to the backhander, man. I know you don't have that glove side. I'm telling you.
Oh, my goodness.
Ask Connor McDavid how he fared. Yep. I said Connor McDavid.
Did you dominate 60 goals for Connor McDavid?
Yep. Mm-hmm. How about Jack Eichel? How about Matthew Tkachuk?
Yeah, but that's not John in Japan.
How about Jack Hughes? Yep.
Still not John in Japan. Let's go to Claude in Long Island City. Hi, Claude.
Hey, good morning. I was just calling to comment on your refill take. I mean, I go to lunch 4 or 5 times a week, and none of the places I go to are giving me free soda refills. I mean, I don't frequent the same places that you do, you know, movie theaters and all-you-can-eat buffets. But, you know, restaurants have a very high failure rate.
I don't understand. Why are you taking shots at me?
Oh, my goodness.
First of all, I mean, you know why it's a terrible call? Because just by definition, Claude, all-you-can-eat buffets would give you free refills. It's all you can eat buffets. So to say it's not a free refill is just asinine.
Wow,
and look at you giggling about
it. That was a strong call.
It was a stupid call.
Really? I don't frequent the places like you, like movie theaters and all.
You know what I was realizing
buffets.
The other day? I actually said it to the boys. I haven't been to a movie in like 4 years.
You know what's funny that you just said that? I said to my wife, I said, well, you want to go to the movies this weekend? I can't even tell you the last time.
I haven't been to the movies since pre-pandemic.
I used to love going to the movies.
Me too, but I haven't been forever. You know what? I'm actually interested in seeing was it Air?
The movie I want to see the new John Wick.
You love John Wick. The new movie with Affleck and Damon about
I want to see that
Jordan
too.
Sneaker. I'd like to see that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
Congratulations, Rick.
Did I win?
Oh, no. You didn't win. It was a bloodbath.
Oh.
You dismantled poor Alan Hahn. 81% for you. 19% for him. A disaster.
I would like to take a second to thank all the people that voted for me today and let everyone know that once we get these next results, how important your support will be in this next matchup.
Oh, it's going to be big. On the one side of the bracket, you get Michael K against me next. What is that? Did we determine? Is that Thursday or Friday of next week,
Thursday.
RJ?
We're doing it Thursday. Yep. Title game will be Friday.
Okay. So next Thursday will be me against Kay on the one side. On the other side, after his nice, tidy victory over Hahn, will be Rick. And he will be facing a man that trailed early, but not in the end. And that is Peter Rosenberg. Much more of a narrow margin of victory, 55%. To 45% in favor of Rosenberg. So you ready for your next battle?
No. Here's the thing. I just want to say this.
Yeah.
And you should be relaying the same message.
How would yours was hotly contested to compete with that load?
No. I can. We can't coast now. We cannot coast. This is not the time to take our foot off the pedal.
Absolutely.
This is a nice tidy win. This is where we have to refocus and realize this next battle is going to be a tough one.
Well, the nice thing is we have a couple days to kind of recoup, take a moment. And get ready for what will happen on Thursday. I want to see you in the finals. That's what I want. I want me and I want you in the championship round. I go up against Kay. You go up against Rosenberg.
Mano a mano.
And I will say this. If for some reason I lose and you win, I want you to win the whole thing. I need someone from this show to win the whole thing. But now here's my question for you. When the voting starts 6:15 Thursday morning.
No, don't do this to me.
I'm going to ask you the question.
No, don't do it to me.
I'm going to ask you a question. Will your vote be for me? Or will it be for Michael?
It's going to be for Michael.
How do you live with yourself?
I have to stay true to who I am.
No, but how do you honestly, how do you
pretty easily?
Honestly, how do you live with yourself?
Pretty easily. Did I get invited to the 50th birthday party?
No.
No. Did I send you multiple presents?
You sent me soup.
What else?
Also protein bars.
Are they delicious?
Delicious.
Have you used them?
Yep.
Okay.
Not the soup yet.
You haven't eaten any soup yet?
Well, I have my own soup. I have to get to my own soup just to get to your soup. You sent me soup.
I think, well, because I sent you the headset, you never wore it. So I said, I'm going to get
him. You're going to vote for K. Even Raymond
will vote
never
K.
vote for K.
I don't know. Saw that picture they took together.
Raymond, me and K, this Thursday, who are you voting for?
Oh, you'll have to see.
Oh, God.
Yes, make him wait, Raymond.
What hope do I, if my guys won't vote for me, what hope do I have against
K? How do you know I won't vote for him?
I'm Princeton. Princeton, he's Arizona. I just have to hope in the final moments. I have to hope in the final moments that he regurgitates all over himself, like Arizona did.
Jeez.
Yankees lineup today. Leading
Let's
off,
hear it.
The only one that really matters. Leading off, playing shortstop.
Anthony Volpe.
Yep. He's going to be your starting shortstop, I think.
Better be.
I think Yankees fans are to the point where that if it's not, they're going to be pissed.
I think he has to be.
Well, Kate was talking about this the other day. The whole 40-man issue can easily be solved. So that shouldn't be an excuse.
So what would be the fear of the Yankees of making him the starting shortstop?
That he's not ready.
But it seems like he is ready.
I've talked to so many people.
He's shown you that he's ready.
I know, but I've talked to a bunch of people who are like, well, who's he faced? It's only spring training.
Then why even have him up for spring training then?
Well, no, right. Like, I mean, if you're going to say it's an open competition and... You know, he's right there, and he has a great spring training. What else can you go off?
Who? I mean, is it clear as day he's been your best shortstop all spring?
Yes.
Okay. Does he add a different dynamic to the Yankees
Absolutely.
Office? I don't understand why are they so hesitant and resistant to actually make him the starting shortstop?
I don't know, because I think it's because maybe the fear that once he's here, he's got to, I mean, he has to stick.
Okay, but you don't have to bat him second. Bat him eighth.
Dude, I keep telling you, I'm all for it.
I think it's the move, and I think the Yankees fans will be upset. You know what I actually think now? I think the Yankees players will be upset.
Probably.
If he's not the starting shortstop opening day.
Sounds like it. It
feels like it's going to be.
When you have expectations like the Yankees have, and they haven't, and they have the expectations every year, but they want to make sure they have the best players on their team, and they all look at him as the best option at shortstop.
We'll find out 6 days away from opening day in MLB. All right, Raymond, this is where you really earn your money. Plays of the week.
These.
Who's the baby now?
I'm the baby.
I only sit when I pee at home. God bless you.
Are the plays of the week.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, we'll start off the week as it usually does with uncomfortable questions. And I'll ask again like I asked Monday. Is Rick DiPietro violating marriages, or is he saving them?
You have the hots for my wife.
So I'm going to put you both on the spot here. Have your wives, either of you, have the wives chimed in and given their thoughts on any of this, of Rick and his conversations with Sherry in the booth a couple weeks ago?
Sherry just kind of shakes her head at Rick, and she likes him very much, but she feels that he doesn't know where the line is. And as Raymond, you can attest to, he crosses it often. Yeah,
I think I'm saving marriages, Raymond. Mm-mm. I think that's what I'm doing.
My marriage doesn't need saving. My
I
marriage
think the spark is back.
Is lock solid.
I think, yeah, but this doesn't have that spark.
Oh, wait, we have it. Oh, that, please, we got
that,
a spark.
That so, animal aggression.
So real quick, any thoughts from Cassie? Any?
She may have mentioned that I sound a little creepy, but that's fine.
moving on.
I don't know why she used the word little.
The question, I guess, was the story of the week. Are things good between Dave and Debbie Duhaime?
Yeah, baby.
There were veiled threats about one of her large sons possibly having a meeting with Dave. It seems like everything's cool. I think she voted for you in the host sadness, so
nice.
I think things are trending.
And that son's abnormally large, isn't he?
what
does that mean?
I think he's got a thyroid issue. He's humongous.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, my. And if you want to mark that down on Rick's shots of the week, you can.
Tuesday, Dave started taking names and well, making lists and charts.
You just made the list!
And I think Rick is by far leading as far as people crossing the line on this show. We all agree on that?
I'm going to do it again next week. I'm going to start my list on Monday and keep track of who takes the most shots at who or whom throughout the course of the week.
Mel Kiper, did you get your whipped cream?
Yeah.
And it looks like he's already on shortage. Are we sending the next shipment?
Yes, next week.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Make it happen.
I ordered ice. I needed the ice.
Wednesday, the big mystery. Who is the monster that texted Dave criticizing Joe, a 13-year-old, and his call on his birthday?
Take a guess right now.
I think we know. You mentioned that it was a person in management today.
Take a guess right now.
So, I think we all know. I'm not going to name this name on air. I've mentioned it to you off the air, and I think you know that we're all right. We're all kind of in agreement on this.
I don't even remember who you guys... I know, because I heard different guesses last week or earlier in the week.
I stand by Pete Doherty.
All right, what do you think, Raymond?
I lean in that direction. I really do. I think I agree with Rick.
RJ?
If I answer, will you tell us if we're right?
No.
Then I'm not answering.
Okay. Because I thought somebody else said another manager at the station. So now I'm confused.
John Winthrop had thoughts, but he's not in the room at the moment. We can't ask him. We also discovered what Hamburger Helper's for.
Where's the beef?
And there were a lot of odd drops on Wednesday. Callers.
Kids love noise.
That's right.
Those are my ladies.
RJ, got to get you in here, too.
It looked like a strike.
Thursday was the big day. The best segment probably in the history of this show, talking about Roy Firestone and his act with Siegfried and the tigers and German magicians and all that stuff.
Ha-ha-ha. Can't get us.
Rick got a samurai sword, too, so that was cool.
Yeah.
Today was a troubling day, especially surrounding the roast.
G-U-M-B, dumb. Get your little tatas all hot and bothered.
I mean, I don't frequent the same places that you do, movie theaters and all-you-can-eat buffets.
And, of course, first-world problems, because we talked about drink refills and gold bouillons and...
You think people in Ethiopia are like, oh, no, Julius Randle, not respected.
What a great show. What a great week.
What a week. Monday. What a week. Have a great weekend. It's Rule 76.
No excuses playing a champion. It's DPH or Rothenberg and...
Roy Firestone.
98.7 ESPN.
You have the hots for my wife.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.